when Jesus is in the boat. Ask your neighbor, is Jesus in your boat? How many know sometimes we can't kick Jesus out? Amen. Sometimes we kick Jesus out of the boat. Amen. Sometimes Jesus jumps out the boat. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because we start paddling where we shouldn't be going. Amen. Jesus says, I'm out of here. And begins to walk on water. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about when Jesus is in the boat.
Come on.
I want to pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would settle my spirit. And that, Lord, I pray that you would cause every heart to be attentive to your word. I pray that we would be a disciplined congregation, that we would act like we were at the AMC theaters or at the Cinemark theaters. That, Lord, we wouldn't get up and go to the restroom, God, because we don't want to miss a second of the movie. And I pray that your people will be the same way here. And if they do, because they really got to use it, God, I pray that they'll go real fast and come back. Because that's how they do in the movies. And I pray that they don't want to miss an ounce, a word, a syllable of your preaching here this morning. And I pray that, God, you would minister to our hearts and that you would speak to every individual in this place, from the youngest to the oldest, from couple to singles. We pray that you would just speak to us. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor it is to share your holy word. So use me this morning as a funnel of grace to speak and minister to your people. I pray this in the mighty, matchless name of my Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Now this morning, I'm going to be reading a few verses out of Luke chapter 5, so you can put a thumbnail, or you can just kind of write a little note. Amen. How many know we take notes here in Victory Outreach?
Yes.
How many know we're disciples here in Victory Outreach?
Yes.
How many know a disciple means we're a student?
Yes.
And I don't know no student that goes to school with no textbook. Come on, somebody. Or no notepads. Come on, somebody. Or pen. Amen. So, amen. We're going to be coming out of Luke chapter 5, Mark chapter 4, and chapter 10, and then Matthew chapter 14. Amen. So you can put a thumbnail there. Luke chapter 5, Mark chapter 4, and chapter 10, and then also Matthew chapter 14. Amen. So we're going to be looking at a few verses there. But this morning, I want to share with you out of this title, When Jesus is in the Boat. Now, as my introduction, I don't really consider myself a person who's flown a lot in an airplane. But I'm probably pretty sure I've flown more than many of you that are here today, or than many. And often when I'm about to fly on the plane or on a plane, getting ready to take off, my mind begins to wonder. Or my mind starts to wonder. I start to wonder to myself, what if?
Come on.
Hello.
Have you ever thought that on the taxi, right, on the taxiway? What if? What if this plane? Don't make it. What if this plane goes down? Huh? What if it crashes? What if a bird decides to fly into the engine? What if? Huh? Have you ever asked yourself that question, for those of you that fly? That's why you don't fly. Come on, buddy. Huh? Sometimes I would say to myself, I wish Pastor Sonny was on this plane.
Come on now.
Or I wish Billy Graham was on this plane, even though he's already in heaven. Amen. Because if they were on the plane, I know the plane ain't going down. Come on, somebody, right? Huh? The other night, I was up late, laying in my bed. Can I be honest with you here this morning?
Yes.
I was worrying. I was stressed. I was worrying, but I was praying at the same time. Huh? If that don't make sense, right? We know that worry is a sin. Come on now, pray for me. Amen. But the best of us, sometimes we tend to worry.
Yeah.
I don't think you're human if you don't. Come on now. And I was laying in my bed, and there was a lot on my mind, and I was worried about different things that were taking place. And as I was there, but praying at the same time and asking God for guidance and comfort and wisdom. And it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, and God spoke to me. Has God ever spoke to you about 3 or 4 in the morning?
Amen.
God spoke to me. And he said these words to me that just hit me and made an impact on my life. He said this. He says, I'm in the boat with you.
Come on now.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm in the boat with you.
Good.
And to you, maybe this morning, it don't really sound too crazy, but to me, at that time.
Come on, come on.
I said, at that time.
Yeah.
Late in the midnight hour.
Come on now.
How many know God will turn it around?
Yeah, that's right.
Late in the midnight hour.
Yes.
When it's darkest.
Oh, come on now.
When it's quietest. When nobody's around.
That's right, that's right.
You know, I tell my wife, you know, sometimes I like nights, but sometimes it's a sad time. Because I'm a night person, and I kind of stay up a little late. And my wife, she just falls asleep like an angel. I mean, she lays down, and 2 minutes later, come on, somebody. Huh? And I tell her, you know, sometimes I don't like nights because you leave me by myself. And you go off to a long and distant land.
Oh, go on.
Huh? And I said, sometimes I don't like nights because you leave me by myself. And I looked to her and she's going to sleep. I said, you're going to leave me now? She says, what do you mean, silly? I'm right here. Come hug me. And she's, I'm right here. I said, yeah, but you're not talking to me. You're not picking on me. You're not making me laugh. No, she picks on me. Amen. But I heard the Lord say, I'm in the boat with you.
Amen.
And as I heard this in my spirit, suddenly I sensed a peace that was able to put me to sleep.
Come on now. Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Come on. How many know God can put you to sleep?
Huh?
He put Adam to sleep. Come on now.
Right.
And then when he woke up, he had Eve.
Come on, man.
See, sometimes you just got to let God put you to sleep.
Woo.
But the only way he can put you to sleep, he got to give you his peace first.
Yeah. Good.
The peace of God that the Bible says surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
It's a peace that you can't find in a bottle. It's a peace that you can't find in a pipe. It's a peace that you can't find rolled up in a piece of paper. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of God that will calm your spirit. It's the peace of God that will get you through the night. Now, this happened a few weeks ago. This peace put me to sleep. Why? Because I knew that if Jesus is in the boat, this boat ain't going down.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, let me say that one more time.
Oh, yes.
If Jesus is in the boat.
Yes, that's right.
If Jesus is in the plane.
Yes. Come on.
If Jesus is in your marriage.
Yes.
If Jesus is in your home.
Yes.
If Jesus is in your life.
That's right.
It ain't going down. I said, it ain't going down. It might go low a little bit. Come on, somebody. But it ain't going to go down because Jesus is in the boat. There's a lot of instances in the Bible that I'm going to be sharing here this morning when Jesus is in the boat, but not once did the boat go down.
Come on. Good.
And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. This happened a few weeks ago to me, and I've just been chewing on that word from God that God gave me. How many know this is a word that God will speak to you?
Yeah.
You know that. You know what you call that word? You call it a rhema word.
Yeah.
That's a rhema word. A word spoken to your spirit. I didn't hear no preacher say it. I didn't hear T.D. Jake say it. Pastor Jesse say it. Pastor Sonny said it. I heard it from God.
Yeah.
God told me Francisco, I'm in the boat with you.
Come on.
Huh? Yeah. And so, and that's all I needed right. to put me to sleep. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Huh? Now don't get me twisted. The trial still rages. The storm still rages. But there's something about when you get a word from God. Yeah. It'll carry you through.
Right.
And as I was chewing on that word from God that God gave me, I decided to do a study on it. And I discovered some great insight that I pray will bless you at this time of the year.
Yeah.
And here this morning.
Yes.
Because I've discovered that at this time of the year, people start to go through it.
Right.
People start to go through some trials.
Come on.
You know, they say it's the happiest time of the year. Right? Isn't that what they sing, right? The happiest time of the year. Huh? And it's supposed to be, and it is. And I don't want to take the joy away from Christmas, because Jesus brought joy into the world.
Yes.
But let me tell you why sometimes it's not the happiest time of the year. The reason why it's not the happiest time of the year sometimes is because our focus is not on Jesus, but our focus is on other things. And when our focus is on other things will sap the joy out of life, will sap the happiness out of life, will sap the peace out of life. Other things like material things or people. We put our trust in people or our love in people. All those things will let you down. Oh, but listen, Jesus brought joy into the world. And that joy comes when we focus our life and our attention on Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. When we focus our life on the Word of God.
Yes.
This time of the year, people begin to go through it.
That's right.
Because they begin to put their focus on other things. They begin to put a focus on a person that ain't around no more.
Oh, come on.
Come on, somebody. They begin to put their focus on things that ain't around no more. Huh? The money ain't around? Come on, somebody. They're going through it. That person's not around? They're going through it. Huh? But listen, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. Yes.
There's three things that you will experience if Jesus is in your boat. The first thing that you will experience, these are not in order, but, you know, the first thing that I got in my notes, that you will experience is His provision.
Amen.
His provision. Huh? He is Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
His provision.
Amen.
And I think that really, really hits home during this time. You know, you don't get no breaks from finances. Huh? You don't get no breaks from the bills coming in. The first still rolls around. Come on, somebody.
Right.
The rent still rolls around in December and in January. Continues on throughout the 12 months of the year. The car payment still rolls around. Huh? You figure, hey man, it's the end of the year. We've been faithful all year. Can you just give us a quebrada?
Yeah,
can you just give us a break? Come on, somebody. Huh? TXU, can you give us a break? Huh? Grand Prairie Water, can you give us a break? Huh? But it don't work like that. And therefore, we need Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Right.
We need His provision. Whether you're in church, whether you're a Christian or you're not, because you're here today. There's some of you here today and you're maybe not a Christian. But let me tell you, the Bible says that He's faithful to the just and the unjust. That He causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. The saved and the unsaved. What does that mean? That means the same way He provides for the Christian, He provides for the infidel or the unbeliever.
Yeah.
He still provides His air. He still provides His elements. He still provides His water, His air, His H2O. He still provides all that to keep you alive so that you can make wealth. So that you can pay your dues. So that you can, you know, have provision for your family.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something about when Jesus is in your boat. When Jesus is in your boat, you no longer have natural provision, but you got supernatural provision.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, what happens for those that are not serving Christ or not spiritual, then they have, you know, God provides for them, but it's just a natural provision. It's just a provision that everybody else gets.
Yeah, come on.
But when you're a Christian and when you're a believer and when you're spiritual, you just don't get a natural provision, but you all of a sudden, God will begin to provide for you supernatural.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm talking about that check that comes in the mail that comes out of nowhere. I'm talking about that bonus that comes out of nowhere. I'm talking about that raise that comes out of nowhere. I'm talking about that phone call from the collector, the bill collector that says that collection has been canceled.
All right now.
Huh? His provision. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we see this take place. It says this. It says, in one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Are you listening to the word of God this morning?
Amen.
He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boats. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They caught so much fish. I mean, they hit a lick. They caught so much fish that they could now go into full-time ministry.
Come on.
Huh? Man, we don't need to work. No, maybe we could follow Jesus and do ministry.
Come on.
Huh? We done left our family set up.
Yeah, good. Wow.
See, some want full-time ministry and they haven't even caught anything.
Wow.
Come on, Pastor.
Huh? You want full-time ministry, you got to catch something. You got to catch the vision first. You got to catch a passion for souls first. You got to catch your pastor's heart first. See, God wants to bless you so much so you can serve him more fully. That's a word for Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. I know you're working right now. I know you're grinding right now for Pharaoh, huh? I know you're probably trying to start up your own business. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to bless you. And God is going to bless you. And the reason why he's going to bless you is because he wants you to serve him more fully. There is a reason for your blessing, my friend. And as soon as you understand it, you can serve Christ and his purpose. And the more God is going to be able to use you. How many want God to use them?
Yes.
Huh? I want God to use me.
Amen.
I want God to use me because, listen, I let the devil use me. I let the homies use me. I let the women use me. I let the money use me. I let the world use me. I want to let God use me now. Huh? I want to be a vessel. I want to be used by God. This is why sometimes in ministry, you're going to feel used.
Come on now.
Huh? You're going to feel used. Man, I just feel like an object. That's right, you are. You're a vessel for his honor and for his glory, my friend. You should be happy that God is using you. You should be happy that Jesus decided to ride on a donkey. Like,
come on now.
See, God provides for those who provide for the ministry. Peter let Jesus use his boat to preach So what did Jesus do? In return, Jesus returned the favor with bolts of blessings. The saying is true. You can't outgive God.
That's right.
You can't outgive God. When you provide for his ministry of preaching the word, get ready for boats of blessing. For those of you that are hosting a life group in your house, get ready, because you're providing for the ministry of Jesus. Come on, somebody. You're allowing the preaching of the word of God. You're allowing Jesus into your boat so that the word can be preached. Get ready, because God is about to bless your life. For those of you tithers and United We Can members and kingdom builders, listen, when you provide for the preaching of the gospel, get ready for the boats of blessing. I know some of you are hating right now. I know some of you, I knew he's going to talk about money. Go ahead and act funny, because listen, I know that God is Jehovah Jireh. And when you provide for his ministry, when you provide for what he's doing, God is about to bless your life. God is about to throw out some blessing. He's about to cause your boat to begin to sink with so much blessing. You want to stay broke, barely making it? Then don't give in the offering. Hold back your tithe. Don't invest in the church. But as for me and my house, I said, as for me and my house, we want all that God has for us. I said, we want all that God has for us. Not to be greedy, my friend, but so that we can serve Jesus fully. I ain't doing it because I want to be greedy. I want to do it because I want to serve Jesus fully. Because the less I got to worry about bills, because they're getting paid, I can preach. I can pray. I can hit the streets. I don't want to give all my life to Pharaoh. Come on, somebody. Listen, there got to be some Christians in this place that you say, I don't want to give all my life to Pharaoh, so therefore I'm going to set myself up financially so that I can come to a place in my life where I don't have to put in 40 hours a week. Come on, somebody. But I can pocket, I make enough in 15 hours a week. Hello, somebody. To support my family and to support my ministry so that I can come and give my time and give my talent to the things of God, so that we can build the kingdom of God, so that we can win souls, so that we can take the city. I'm tired of giving my life to Pharaoh. I want to give my life to God. Because me and my wife provided for the ministry in Dallas. God has been able to enable us to put us in a place and position us where we can serve him more fully. I don't want to give all my life to Pharaoh. I want to give all my life to God. Jesus paid Peter back for using his boats. Look at what Jesus tells Peter later on in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Look at what he tells him. Then Peter spoke up. You know, Peter had a big mouth. It says, then Peter spoke up. He's talking about him and the disciples, him and his road dogs, him and his homies, the 12. We have left everything to follow you. Peter reminds me of some people in my church. Come on, somebody. We left everything, Pastor, to follow you. Come on, somebody. We've left everything to follow you. Listen to what Jesus tells them. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me, Jesus, and the gospel will fail. He can't fail you. Jesus ain't gonna fail you. You ain't gonna fail when you give. You ain't gonna fail when you surrender. You ain't gonna fail when you give it all to Christ. Says will fail to receive. Oh, I like that part. Let me say it again. To receive. Tell your neighbor, I receive it. Tell the person behind you, I receive it. Tell the person in front of you, receive it. A 100 times as much in this present age. Not in the life to come, now. Tell your neighbor, now. Ahorita. Homes. Homes. Tell your neighbor, what's up, homes? But not that type of Holmes. Huh? Not that type of Holmes. Huh? He says, you're going to, some of you praying for a home. Come on, wait, lift your hand if you're praying for a home. Not a rented home. Not a rented home. Your home. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I got my hand left up to, I got, come on somebody. Huh? Your home, that you're going to receive homes. Why? Because you gave up your home. Because you opened up your home. Oh, come on. You opened up your home for a D home. You opened up your home for a discipleship home. You opened up your home for a life group. You opened up your home for a... You opened up your home to Jesus. Jesus says you're going to receive it 100 times back. Homes and brothers and sisters and mothers. I'm going to give you a spiritual family apart from your real family. Then you will have the best of both worlds. Come on, somebody. It says children and fields. How many want your children to serve God? I don't care what the devil is trying to show you. I don't care if they're acting up right now. I don't care if they're gangbanging right now. I don't care if they're running away right now. I don't care if they're smoking weed, drinking right now. They may not belong to God right now. Oh, but when you give your life to God fully, God is faithful. I said, God is faithful, my friend. My kids are serving God. My oldest daughter is back there teaching in the children's ministry. My daughter's in the worship team. My sons love Jesus. That's the best thing I could ever ask for. It's for my children to serve God. And fields. Some people say, well, why are you doing kingdom builders? Why do we got to buy property? You know, Jesus never brought property, but he said it right here. And fields.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Huh? Yeah. What do you want a field for? Come on, somebody.
Hello.
For the harvest.
Amen.
Yes. For the harvest.
Yes.
Huh? Come on, we just don't want an empty set. We just want an empty land. We want a field for the harvest.
Yes.
We're going to receive this when you fully give yourself to the Lord. When Jesus said, no one has left everything. No one who has given everything will fail to receive all this. But he saves the best for last.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
Huh? Along with persecutions. Along with, why is it, what do you mean that's the best? I don't want to get persecuted. What do you mean that's the best? I don't want to go through hard times.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yep.
That's the best. You want me to tell you why? Ask me why.
Why?
Glad you asked. Because these things grow you.
Yes. Oh,
come on.
Haters make you greater.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Persecutions.
Yeah.
People hating on you.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
talking about you.
Mom.
People slandering you.
Yeah.
People misrepresenting you.
Right.
People misunderstanding you.
Mom.
Persecution.
Yeah.
Persecution.
Yeah.
Huh? But listen, while you're getting mad at them, you should be happy at them. Why? Because they're causing you, come on somebody, to grow. They're causing you to examine yourself. Every time they say something about you, you gotta kind of rethink. You kinda take a hard look in the mirror. Come on, somebody, am I really like that? Is it true? So you begin to examine yourself. And sometimes you need to examine yourself. You need to look at the man in the mirror. Hello, somebody. You need to look at the woman in the mirror. Come on now. And you need to take a thorough examination. Nation, because I heard this, there's a little bit of truth in sarcasm.
Yes.
Sometimes you just got to examine yourself.
Yes.
But you know what? It makes you greater.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Because if it wasn't for them persecuting you, you might have never looked at you.
Ooh, that's good.
Huh?
That's good.
Come on now. And then Jesus says, and in the age to come, eternal life.
Amen.
The best for last. Just listen, when Jesus is in your boat, you experience provision.
Amen.
You experience supernatural provision.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, you know, when I was putting this message together this week in my study, in my office, you know, the Bible says this. It says, while you are yet speaking, he says, while you are yet speaking, God says, while I'm yet speaking my word, I'm watching over it to do it. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 7 or 1, verse 12, it says, why I yet speak? He says, I watch over my word to execute it.
Good,
huh? I watch over my word to execute it. And let me tell you, I kid you not. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story. While I was putting this message together in my office, and as soon as I finished this point about God's provision, something happened.
Oh, come on, Master, come on.
Earlier this month, We got an unexpected bill for the church for $2,500. Just came out of nowhere. $2,500. A bill we had to pay. They said, you got until Christmas Eve to pay this bill. And it's a bill that you had to pay. You had to pay. So we were like, man, God. I said, okay. So we said, you know, we got to set ourselves up. We need to prepare ourselves to pay this bill. There is no Christmas. Come on, somebody. Huh? Talking about the Grinch that stole Christmas. Huh? You know, so I'm cool, you know, because I understand that, you know, presents ain't the reason for Christmas.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It's not about the presents, it's about his presence.
Yeah.
It's not about what's under the Christmas tree, it's about who's around the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So I was cool. I said, hey, man, I guess the kids ain't getting no presents. Come on, so it's cool. You know what I mean? We'll pay the bill. How many know we got to keep our character, be people of integrity, do things right? Huh? Pastor, you should, my pastor's told me this. He says, when you go out there, remember three things. Stay on top of three things. He says, pay your bills, keep your nose clean, and keep your zipper up. Sorry, it's a little graphic, but that's his advice that he would give me. Huh? So I take that advice. Pay my bills. Keep my nose clean. Don't be getting high. Come on, somebody. Huh? Not just on drugs, but also don't get high on pride. Because somebody, oh, that was a great message, Pastor. They blow smoke in your face.
Right.
Don't believe it. It's all God.
Right.
Don't take the glory.
Right.
Keep your zipper up. Come on, be faithful to your wife.
Amen.
Your man, don't be getting fall into adultery or fornication.
Right.
He's always told us that.
That's good, man.
But the first one is pay your bills. Huh? So we say, okay, we're going to pay this bill. Getting ourselves ready financially to pay this bill. Huh? And then all of a sudden, as soon as I put number two and started to write notes for number two, the phone rang. I got a phone call. It said, you know what? We're going to take care of this bill for you.
Wow. Come on, man. Hey.
$2,500. Yeah. Huh? $2,500. I was in my office. I got off the phone. And I said, and before I hung up, I needed clarity. I said, okay, let me get this straight. You're going to take care of this bill, right? She said, I don't have to pay it, right? Yeah, that you don't have to take it. We got this. I said, thank you, Jesus. I was yelling from the top of my lungs. And all of a sudden, the secretaries came into the office, which is my daughter and my wife. They said, what happened? I said, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He always comes through. He's Jehovah Nicatai. He's a good God. Why? Because when you provide for his work, he will provide for you. When you take care of his business, he'll take care of your business.
Yeah.
Second thing is when Jesus is in your boat, you experience his peace.
Yes.
His peace. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 41, says this. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, this was the day that he had just fed the 5,000 plus with five loaves of bread and two fish. It says, that day when evening came, after the big lunch, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boats, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. No Jesus, no peace.
Huh?
Put that on the screen for me. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace.
Yes, that's good.
If you don't have Jesus in your life, you ain't gonna have peace in your life.
Oh, come on, speak it.
That's right.
But when you know the King of Kings,
Right.
When you know, when you're intimate with Him.
Yes.
Listen, I don't care what trial you go through, I don't care what you face. There's something about when you get to know Jesus. There's something about when you get into that prayer closet. It's something about when you drop to your knees and things can be going bad all around you, man. Things are coming your way. It seems like, man, the storm is raging in your life. Listen, that's the time you got to hit your knees and get in your prayer closet and get in that secret room. And I guarantee you that the peace of God will begin to come upon your life because you're getting to know Jesus. You're getting to know His peace. After a long day of ministry, preaching and teaching, healing and meeting needs, Jesus knew that Him and His disciples needed to get away. They had been busy all day and having church services and revival. And Jesus says, man, come on, let's go. Let's go to the other side. We need to get away from the crowd. I know you're tired. So they needed to get away. They needed some R&R. But what happens when your R&R gets rained on by a storm of life? Jesus was trying to pull them away because they needed to get some rest, but on the lake or on the sea, all of a sudden they ran into a storm. Sometimes it's like that in life. You try to get away, you're trying to break away, and it seems no matter how much you try to get away, it keeps on coming.
Yeah,
huh? Or is it just me?
No.
Huh? It seems like one thing after another.
Come on,
somebody.
Yes.
It's like, can I catch a break?
No.
I need a Kit Kat. Huh? Sometimes it seems like life just won't let up. It just keeps coming and coming and coming like waves in the ocean that is pulling you in. They keep coming and coming and threatening to overtake you. And you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You're a disciple. You're a leader. This shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. Huh? Right? But because you got Jesus. But because you got Jesus, let it come. Because you got Jesus, don't fret. Huh? Because it ain't going down. You ain't going down. Because you got Jesus. So next time you're in that situation when it keeps coming and coming and coming, let it come. But remind yourself that you got Jesus. So what do you do? What do you do? You cry out to Him.
That's right.
You cry out to Him out of fear.
Yes.
Sometimes we cry out to Him out of worry and out of concern.
Come on.
That's the good thing about having Jesus in your boat. He's just a call away. That's a good thing about coming to church and being a Christian is that He's just one call away. He's one hitting your knees away. He's one prayer away. But the farther away you get from Jesus, sometimes it seems like it's not that easy.
Come on, that's right.
See, the disciples, they went to wake up Jesus. But you talk about a rude awakening. Because as soon as they wake Him up, they begin to accuse Him of not caring.
Wow.
Huh? They begin to accuse Jesus of not caring. Master, don't you care that we drown? Don't you care that we perish?
Wow.
Sounds like church folks sometimes. Pastor don't care. The leaders don't care. Huh? Come on now.
Come on now.
Jesus got a rude awakening. How dare you say I don't care when I put up with you, Peter? When I put up with all your drama, John? When I put up with all you, Judas? How are you going to tell me I don't care? Just because I'm trying to take a nap.
Come on.
Just because I'm trying to rest. Just because I didn't answer your phone call.
Oh, come on.
Just because I didn't go do a house visit.
Come on now.
And they begin to accuse Jesus of not caring.
Oh, come on.
Huh? Let me remind you, they didn't wake Him up because they knew that He was going to calm the sea. They didn't wake Him up. They didn't wake Him up because they knew what He was going to do. They didn't know what He was going to do. They woke Him up to rebuke Him.
Wow.
They woke Him up to accuse Him.
Wow.
Huh? They woke Him up out of fear.
Come on.
And verse 40, Jesus clearly shows that fear is the opposite of faith.
Yes.
In verse 40.
Yes.
He says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?
Wow.
Huh? Do you still have no faith? Sometimes we get into situations and things are happening to our life, and there we are, we're fretting, and there we are worrying, and we're afraid, and then there we go to wake up Jesus. Listen, it's okay to wake up Jesus, but don't wake him up and start accusing him of not caring.
Yeah.
Don't wake him up and not being there for you.
Come on.
Don't wake him up and not being real or not being powerful. See, if you ask me, I believe Jesus fell asleep on purpose, knowing that a storm was coming, just to see where their faith was. Sometimes Jesus will allow a storm in your life just to see where your faith is at. Are you going to fall apart? Are you going to run? Are you going to paralyze? Are you going to stop serving him? But sometimes he allows a trial to come your way just to see where your faith is at. In verse 39, the King James Version says, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Listen, you don't really know or appreciate true peace unless you've been through a battle. Unless you've really been through the fight of your life. See, the cancer survivor knows this. Come on now. See, a cancer survivor knows this. See, somebody that's been shot and survived knows this. Come on now. You don't really appreciate real life until your life was threatened. And listen, you don't really appreciate true peace unless you've been through a battle, unless you've been through a storm, unless you've been through a fight, and you come out on the other side. You might have got knocked down a little bit. You might have went down a little bit. You might have got winded, but you made it through. And once you finally make it through, you're able to look back and say, man, God got me through that one. I'm grateful, man, that's behind me. That's in my past. And it causes you to be grateful. And it causes you to relish in that peace. Sometimes God has to take you through a storm so you can appreciate his peace. There's three things you got to do in a storm. Write them down real quick. Firstly, you got to wake up Jesus. When you're in a storm, listen. Sometimes he might be asleep. Come on now. You know, sometimes what God does, he puts us on snooze. Hello, somebody. He hears you. You got to wake him up. But he says, they got 15 more minutes in that trial. Come on, somebody. It's all right. You can wake up Jesus. Sometimes you got to wake up Jesus and you got to scream. You got to shout. You got to pray. You got to pray like you never prayed before. You don't need that quiet prayer. You need that loud prayer. You don't need that dry prayer. You need that wet prayer. That wet prayer that has mucus coming down your. Come on, that wet prayer that has tears coming down. That prayer that brings you to the altar. You need that prayer that causes you to fast. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you gotta wake up Jesus. You gotta do what you never done before. Sometimes that's where you gotta get his attention. You gotta wake up Jesus in a trial. Secondly, you gotta be still. You gotta be still. You know why? Because if you begin to move, you might mess things up. Wow. You got to wake up Jesus. Then you got to be still and know that he's God. Don't mess things up or make them worse than what they are. Some people in a trial, they start to panic. They start to panic and they start to do all kinds of things. They try, I'll get myself out of this one and I'll make it happen. And I'm going to go make this move. And I'm going to go make Matt do. And I'm going to go hustle this. And I'm going to go hustle that. And I'm going to go pawn this. And then at the end, you find yourself in a bigger mess. Because you weren't still. Just be still and wake up Jesus. And thirdly, fear not, because he's in the boat. Simple. The third thing you experience in the boat, and the last thing, is that you experience his power. His power. Somebody say his power.
Power.
Now let me tell you something. You experience his power in a personal way. In a personal way. Listen, I know that you experience his power sometimes because he moves in the church service, or he moves through your leader, or he moves through pastor, or he moves through the evangelist. But let me tell you, no. When Jesus is in your boat, I'm here to tell you, you will experience his power in a personal way.
Amen, amen, amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, my last verses, through verse 33. It says this, when Jesus... Matthew, you got it? Let me turn to it real quick. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? See, when Jesus is in the boat, you take steps of faith you normally wouldn't take. Resulting in doing things you have never done before. Good. You do things that leave people in awe and wondering how you did that.
Right.
You know it wasn't you, and you know it was all God. What happened to Peter right here is he experienced the personal power of God in and through his life when he walked on water.
That's right, amen. Wow.
I never preached before in my life before I came to Christ. I never started a church before I came to Christ. This is all God.
Amen.
All I did was step up when he told me to step out.
Right, come on.
We've experienced the power of God in this place.
Right.
Me and my wife have experienced the power of God. Why? Because we decided to step out of the boats.
Yeah.
We've experienced the power of God because Jesus has been in our boats.
Come on.
Right. Because Jesus is with us.
Yes.
And when, listen, when Jesus is in your boat, you, like Peter, can experience the power of God in a personal way.
Right.
But you know what? The number one thing that is common in all three of these scriptures is one word, is the word fear. And all three portions of these verses that I've read to you, fears in each one of them. Because let me tell you something about the boats. The boat represents the ministry of Christ.
That's right.
The boat represents the ministry. Let me tell you why. Jesus used the boat to preach out of when he asked Peter to borrow his boat.
Right.
When he told the disciples to get into the boat, he didn't tell the crowd. He told the disciples, his leaders, to get into the boat. Because they needed some R&R from the ministry. The boat represents the ministry. And Jesus is in our boat. He is. But let me tell you something. Fear tries to creep into the boat. Things that will cause your boat to sink. The number one thing is fear. Fear. But this is what Peter was able to overcome. He was able to overcome his fear and step out of the boat and experience the supernatural power of God. Use him like he had never been used before. And there's some of you here that, listen, this during this season, you know, some of you need the provision of God.
Yes.
Because you're going through it financially.
Oh, come on.
It seems like everything's hitting your finances. And you need the provision of God. Some of you, you need the peace of God because you're going through trials. You're going through worry. You're not at peace with yourself. You're confused. All things are bombarding your head. So many things are spiritual attack taking place in your home and your family. Things are coming at you, and you need the peace of God.
That's right.
In the boat, you will experience provision and peace. But there's some of you that, listen, you're pretty good right now. You're you know, God has been blessing you. You're a tither, you're a giver. So, man, you've been getting blessed. Come on, somebody. You're like cool right now, man. You're like, man, I can be a blessing. Huh? So those of you that came and gave money, why? Because you're like, I'm cool. Some of you, it's like, I got the peace of God. I'm good. I got the peace of God. I've been praying, man. I've been in my closet. And yet things are happening. But you know what? It ain't nothing I can't handle. Me and Jesus can't handle. I've been through this before. I've seen this situation before. He got me through back then. He'll get me through again. So you're cool. But I'm here to tell you, what you need here this morning is you need to experience the personal power of God. Because you've been sitting here and you've been kind of stale, and you've been waiting for the next thing, and you've been waiting for the next level of growth. You've been waiting for the next level of ministry, and all of a sudden you're saying, man, I want to experience more. I want more of God. I want a new level of God. I want to do what I've never done before, man. I've already hit the streets. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm going to continue to do all that stuff, but I'm ready to God to do something new in my life. Come on, somebody. That's what Peter had in his spirit. He had experienced different things ministry, but he never experienced walking on water. And he's seen an opportunity while being in the boat with Jesus. He's seen an opportunity to do something different, to do something that's never been done before. And that's the type of people we need. We need some people that are willing to say, I'm ready to experience the personal power of God, not just for me, come on somebody, but for somebody else. And I can just picture the disciples looking at Peter walking on water. They just looked at him like, I mean, they seen Jesus. They tripped out when Jesus did it. They thought he was a ghost. But, you know, that was Jesus. But then when they seen Peter do it, they said, wow. Man. I wish I would have been the one to step out of the boat. I wish I would have been the one to tell Peter, tell Jesus to tell me to come. In closing, there are two last things that the disciples experience about God in the boat. His transcendence and his immanence. I want you to stand to your feet. These are big words, and I don't want to scare you. But transcendence means this. Transcendence means how God relates to humans. To man and his humanness. In other words, transcendence is like when you look to the sky at night and you see the stars and you say, my God, there has to be a God.
Right.
When you look at creation and you say, there has to be a God that created all this. And when you think about the Creator, you're like, man, he's a big God.
Yes.
That's what it means, is transcendence. Is transcendence. It exceeds normal limitations of humans. Transcendence. That's what the disciples experienced when they caught all those fish.
Yes.
Transcendence. My God. This is why Peter ran and begins to say, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. As soon as they caught the fish, he thought, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Because he understood that he stood in the presence of a God. He understood that he stood in the presence of deity. And how can I stand in the presence of God? I must kneel. I must kneel before God. That's why we come and kneel. That's why we come to the altar. That's why we're broken. Because we understand his bigness. If you don't kneel before God, because you don't understand God, you don't understand how big he is. You don't understand that he can crush you. He can crush you, but he allows you to. His love and mercy allows you to live, but there you are standing all prideful.
Wow.
But when you understand his transcendence,
right.
You bow. Say, forgive me, Lord.
Yes.
I don't deserve to stand in your presence. I don't deserve for you to be in my boat. When Jesus walked on water, the disciples experienced his transcendence. Nobody's walked on water. I don't care what that guy from Las Vegas, what's his name?
Chris Angel.
It's all mirrors and smoke. Jesus is the only water walker. He's the only man, God. He's the only one that walked on water. They seen him walk on water. They experience his transcendence. Beyond human limitations. Beyond the limitations of what the mind can bear and understand. When Jesus, in the midst of the storm, and when they woke him up after taking a nap and getting some rest, he stood up, and after he was accused, you know, God, he's so loving, even after you accuse him, he still helps you. He gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. Peace be still. And all of a sudden, a calm like had never been experienced before. Huh? A calm that had never been experienced before. And we don't understand because we weren't there, but the disciples were there. And they wrote in the scriptures, they wrote in the Bible what they experienced. It was a calm that they have never felt before. And they said, they began to say that they feared and say, man, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Transcendence. Beyond what the human mind can understand. The word imminence is totally different. The word imminence means when God permeates humanity. In other words, you have his transcendence and you have his imminence. His imminence means that God is in all. As God permeates humanity, God permeates the world. How do we see this in the boat? We see this by Jesus sleeping in the stern. Sleeping just like all of us sleep at night. Jesus was crashed out. He was out. He was out. He was sleeping like a baby. Huh? I mean, from one moment to the next, from sleeping to rebuking the wind. In the boat, you experience his transcendence and his imminence. What I mean by that, you will experience his awesome and glorious power, but then you will experience his personal love and mercy. You will experience his personal touch. You will experience his love. When you're going through a trial, you experience, you're not going through this by yourself, son. I'm in the boat with you. Permeates your life. He invades your life when you feel him. You feel his nearness. You feel his closeness. You're not alone. In the boat, you experience both those things, his awesome and greatness, but then you experience his personal touch on your life. When Jesus is in the boat. So my question to you here this morning, is Jesus in your boat? Say, Pastor, man, I'm going through stuff. It's hard this season right now. I can admit I was like you. Yeah, I've been worrying a little. Remember I said sometimes we kick Jesus out of the boat. Sometimes, young people, you feel like you don't need Jesus in your boat right now. But keep on living, son. Keep on living, daughter. You're going to get to a place where all this you're going to begin to relate to. You're going to begin to relate to. And even some young people, you're a little bit more sensitive. And you're like, man, I understand what Pastor's talking about. I understand what he's saying, man. Because I'm young, but I go through a lot of stuff. And you may be here this morning. You need Jesus to jump back into your boat. Because you started paddling the wrong way. And Jesus says, I'm going to walk on water. I'm out of here. You're going the wrong way, brother. I ain't going over there with you. Huh? What you need to do this morning is you need to turn back the other way and repent. And when you do, you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to walk on water right back to you. You're going to get right back in your boat. All right, let's go. I don't have to walk on water no more. Come on, roll the boat, roll the boat, roll the boat. And all of a sudden, you begin to experience His provision, His peace, His power. This morning, if that's you, you're here. You need Jesus to get back into your boat. This is for the Christian too. This is for the church, man. This ain't for the tits. For the non-believer and the believer. Because sometimes as believers, you kick Jesus out the boat. And this morning, I think it's time for Jesus to get back into your boat. If that's you here this morning, I'm going to open these altars. And I'm going to ask you to come without hesitation. You come and say, God, Jesus, come into my boat. Come into my boat. My boat's being buffeted by the winds and the waves and the storm and the wind. But I need you in my boat. I need you in my boat, God. I need you in my boat. Experience His power. Experience His peace. Experience His provision. There's some of you, as you make this altar call, the same way He's watching over His word, the answer's already coming. Before you leave this place, you're going to get a text, you're going to get a phone call, because He watches over His word. He watches over His word that you respond to by faith. When I was writing this point, I was writing it by faith. I was writing it by faith, but I believed it. That's why I preach it, because I live it. Some of you making this altar call by faith. You're coming to church by faith. God is watching over His word. Your faith unlocks the power of His word. Your faith is the key. The power's not in you. That God responds to. It's time to walk. It's time to get out of fear. It's time to get out of fear. Some of you have been holding back. You've been holding back because of fear. You've been holding back because of fear of what people are going to say. You've been holding back because you have complexes and your fear of failing and sinking. But Jesus is here to say, when I'm in the boat, you're not going to sink. You're not going to fail. You can't fail when I'm in the boat. It's time for you to surrender all. Give it to God. Give it to the Lord. Let Jesus be the captain of your ship. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Just stepped in. You to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus to come into my life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? Anybody here? Just raise your hand. God bless you. God sees your hand. God bless you. God sees your hand.
Anybody else? Raise your hand. If you raised your hand, say this prayer right there where you're at. Say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. I know you're the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. And you resurrected on the third day. Thank you for coming into my heart, for coming into my boat. It's not your boat. Do what you will in my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you said that prayer, I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands and just worship Him. And I want you to pray for them, church. But just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. There's a new way to fight your battles. Now that you're with Jesus, now that Jesus is in your bones, you're not the same. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
When they look like us around,
oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
When they look like us,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
For such an on-time, powerful word, God. We pray, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for getting in our boat this morning, God. God, and we're ready to experience your power, your peace, and your provision, God. Lord, be with us as we depart from this place, but never from your presence. In the name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight that the gang, that they have a regional service in East Dallas. Praise the Lord. All week long, we got our life group. Thursday, we have evangelism. Praise the Lord. Don't forget to bring some toys. You can drop them off all week long. The office will be open. Praise the Lord.
We're so worthy of all praise.
Or you need to put.
No, I'm gonna tell Destiny for Christmas. I'm gonna hold it together.
Who? 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 That?